One November day in 1532, Spanish general Francisco Pizarro began the conquest of the Incan Empire in South America. In the first attack, thousands of Indians were slaughtered, and their king, Atahualpa, was captured. To spare his life, Atahualpa proposed a ransom, an entire room filled with gold. Soon, fine gold vases and figurines began appearing, brought by his subjects throughout the Andes. To make room for more gold, the Spaniards smashed the objects into small pieces. When the room was full, they melted down the gold, shipped it to Spain, and killed Atahualpa. Today, centuries after the quest for El Dorado, poor peasants struggling to survive have taken up the search for gold. They fill the pit mines of Brazil, the rivers of Peru, the hills of Bolivia. In Ecuador, thousands of people have rediscovered old mines of the Spanish crown. Armed with picks, dynamite, and mercury, they revisit a legacy that began with the death of King Atahualpa. Today, producer Sandy Tolan and Nancy Postero travel to a mining boomtown in the hills of Ecuador, where the gamble for wealth is accompanied by deadly risks.
Quito, capital of Ecuador. 4 centuries ago, this was a stronghold of the Spaniards. Tons of gold flowed through here, pulled from mines across the Andes, stamped in Quito with the royal coat of arms. The gold was shipped north through Panama to the ports of Spain. Now, in this city of old colonial churches and their gold-encrusted altars, we hear of a new gold rush, of a fever that's gripped southern Ecuador, of a wild boomtown called Nambija. To get to Nambija, we bounce for hours in a jeep descending over washboard roads into the low foothills of the Andes.
Let's go to the bus.
Then it's a bus for 2 more hours, followed by a tightrope walk on a log over a rushing stream. Finally, we stand jammed with 35 others like cattle into the back of a flatbed truck. The truck sways wildly, careening down narrow mountain roads. We pass prospectors panning in the river, mule trains hauling dynamite and cases of beer. Our companions are poor farmers, hookers, and merchants, all bound together in the search for a new El Dorado, all headed to Nambija, lost city of gold in the foothills of the Andes. Nambija. A jumble of pounding mills stand between tin roof shacks, dynamite stores, and cantinas. Explosive charges punctuate the air. A whole town clings to the dirt slopes of this narrow valley. Towering over it all is the Hill of Gold. 1,000 feet high, the hill looks like a huge brown hunk of Swiss cheese. It's filled with holes, each one a separate mine shaft. Hundreds of men and women scurry like mice in and out of the holes. The hill seems to vibrate, teeming with human chaos, like a life-size painting by Hieronymus Bosch.
Yes, it's a beautiful place, huh? As you see,
our guide is a third-generation gold miner. He doesn't just see desperate people struggling for chunks of gold in the dirt. For Magner Turner, Nambija is one of the only places in Ecuador where you still have a chance to get rich. He wears a silver hard hat and calf-high boots. His handlebar mustache is waxed to the tips. Magner looks across the hills of Nambija and smiles.
I like it very much. It looks like a big city. If you like whiskey, it's whiskey. Many, many things. Clothes, shoes, a lot of girls all over, you know. It's unbelievable.
Nambija never sleeps. Mills grind ore round the clock. For the 8,000 people who live here, nothing matters except gold. 10 years ago, before the gold rush, there was nothing here, not a single mining town in all these wooded hills. Then in 1982, a deep recession hit Ecuador. Desperate families began panning for gold in the rivers. A few prospectors followed a trail of golden nuggets upstream, until they reached an old mine abandoned 4 centuries earlier by the Spaniards. It was still filled with rich veins of gold. Word spread. By 1985, more than 100,000 people were scouring the hills for gold. Many built ramshackle shanty towns like Nambija. Poor farmers, truck drivers, professionals with some money to invest, all staked claims near the old Spanish mines. Magner leads us into the big hill. He's going to show us step by step how men turn rocks into gold. Inside the watery mine shaft, light from his lantern flashes against the low, narrow walls. 2 men chip away at the inside of the mountain. It's taken these men 4 months to go 100 feet. So far, they've found nothing, but they think they're getting close. When the boom started, some miners found ore so rich that every ton of rock yielded 1.5 pounds of pure gold. Now, with all the good ore gone, these men will be lucky to get 1/4 ounce per ton.
It's got a rock there. Yeah, it looks like it's got gold in it.
Parece que tiene oro, ¿no?
Sí, parece que tiene oro.
Yeah, it's a black and green rock that's flecked with lines of gold and specks of gold and other what looks like other precious metals.
The government says these people's claim, like everyone else's in Nambija, is illegal. But no one here bothers with government regulations. Here, there are no laws. It's every man for himself. When 2 mines intersect inside this mountain, ownership is often resolved with guns. Violence and frequent cave-ins have taken many lives in Nambija. A few here have made millions, but most, like Rosario Chufin, have made just enough to hang on.
The economy is so bad here. There's just no other work in Ecuador. If you try to work in agriculture, you can't make a living. If you try to live in the city, there's no work. Here, at least, we can make enough to survive day to day, but nothing more.
5 years ago, Rosario and her family realized they couldn't make it in Quito. So they decided to risk the dangers of Nambija. They sold everything they had and scraped together enough to buy the picks and dynamite they would need to bore another hole into the mountain.
This work is awfully hard. It's dangerous around here. At the beginning, people were blowing themselves up with dynamite all the time. A lot of people died that way. Others were left without arms or legs. Around here, people risked their lives to get the gold out. This is the way we support our families. You have to sacrifice a lot.
Some don't have the money or equipment it takes to gamble on striking gold, and so they work for those who do. At mine entrances across Nambija, young Indian men hoist 130-pound sacks of ore onto their backs. They haul the rocks from the mines to the big mills that will crush the ore. Bending low under the weight, they struggle through the rain, up and down slippery mud trails. They move through the town, past the dirt-caked miners drinking in the bars. Down the street, women in tight dresses call from the doorways of blaring discos. Pigs wade through raw sewage and mounds of garbage. And children play in streams of wastewater, which are filled with deadly mercury. The mercury comes from stamp mills where the rock is crushed so the gold can be extracted. This mill belongs to Julio Crespo, Magner, our guide, explains how the process works.
Right now, we are waiting for the mercury.
The rocks are crushed into sand by big pistons. Water is added, and then the sand containing heavy metals is separated from the rest of the ore and poured into pails. At this point, Magner explains, the mercury is added to draw out the gold.
Right now, the boy is washing the sand, you know, and he has to put the mercury with gold.
Crespo's son stirs the pail of mercury and sand with his bare arm. Then he pours the solution into a big metal pan, adds some more mercury, and swirls the pan in a circle. Then the mercury begins to act as a magnet for little specks of gold.
Can you see the gold there with the mercury?
Yeah, there it is.
That's a gold.
Little mercury balls and little specks of gold inside.
Yeah. Possibly he is seeing a little nugget there.
Now the boy holds what's called a pregnant ball of mercury in the palm of his hand. He hands it to his father. Julio takes a handkerchief, wraps it around the ball, and squeezes out the excess mercury. Soon, he holds out a silver ball. It looks like a bunch of crumpled up Hershey's Kisses wrappers. He walks out into the sun with his acetylene torch.
He's burning the mercury off with a torch, covering his face because the vapors can kill you. And the mercury is burning off, it's evaporating, it's going into the air, and suddenly a chunk of gold is appearing from underneath. That little lump there is turning from silver to gold.
This little ball of gold weighs a quarter of an ounce. It came from 3 tons of rock in the big hill that towers above Julio's mill. It represents a day's work for Julio and will earn him about $75, a lot of money for most Ecuadorans. But the costs in mercury poisoning to people and the environment are just beginning to be understood. People who inhale mercury or absorb it through their skin can get sick. It starts with a sense of numbness in the fingers and toes. Then there can be headaches and intense stomach pains, blindness or uncontrollable tremors. Eventually, mercury can cause intestinal bleeding, kidney damage, and death. All this is common knowledge among medical experts, but not in Nambija, not for Rosario Chufin. Rosario says she started using mercury when her family first came here 5 years ago.
Mi esposo antes trabajaba bastante en eso. Él compraba así como decir esas piedras, las compraba, les veía el oro.
My husband used to grind up the rocks in a little mill at our house. Then to make the gold come out, he would add mercury to the sand and put it on the stove and heat it up in our kitchen. After doing this for a year or so, I started getting these horrible headaches. I felt like my head was going to explode. And then I got stomach aches with such bad pains that I couldn't even drink water. I felt like I was contaminated. I felt completely destroyed.
Did anybody ever tell you that mercury was dangerous?
No, bueno, hasta cuando yo me comencé con ese malestar, esa enfermedad.
No, even when I got sick, we didn't know about this. Nobody ever told us. We didn't know that by touching mercury, you would absorb it through your pores. There were times when we would just hold this mercury in our hands and play with it. Even my little son would do it.
Incluso hasta mi hijo también, entonces después.
Recently, researchers in Ecuador have found high levels of mercury in the urine samples of some minors and their children. Doctors say this demonstrates for the first time that in some cases, the Ecuadorian minors' headaches, nervousness, and tremors are clearly the result of mercury poisoning. The tons of mercury dumped into the environment every year are also beginning to poison Ecuador's waters. When the mercury reaches the rivers, it enters the food chain. And then, with each successive step, it becomes ever deadlier. Fish have been born with one eye or no fins. When people eat contaminated fish, the mercury can cause Minamata disease, named after the Japanese fishing village contaminated by mercury in the 1950s. The disease causes blindness, brain damage, and retarded, malformed babies. In Ecuador, extreme levels of mercury have been found in Rio Siete. This river flows down from gold country and empties out into the Pacific, right next to the country's massive shrimp farms, a huge source of shrimp for the United States. So far, the shrimp farms have not been contaminated. But Carlos Luzuriaga, former environmental minister for Ecuador, says the government must begin regulating the gold mines.
If we let it continue, it may well be such that Ecuador will not have much of a shrimp industry to talk about, because all of the shrimp from Ecuador will be rejected, branded unfit for human consumption, obviously. So you see the economic and social consequences of this form of illegal, informal mining.
At Nambija, the good ore is beginning to run out. Cave-ins are happening more and more. Rosario Chufin and her family have run out of money. Their mine, the family's last hope of escaping poverty, produced nothing. Now she survives by smashing rocks with a sledgehammer and selling the small bits of gold to local merchants. Some miners are beginning to leave Nambija, drifting back to their lives on the coast or in the capital. Others, like our guide Magner Turner, are still driven by the fever that created this boomtown. They've headed deeper into the hills, searching for another lost mine of the Spaniards. With Nancy Pastero, this is Sandy Tolan reporting.